Book of Exodus, chapter 16. When you preach, there ought to be a goal in every message. There ought to be something that we're seeking to do. Tonight, if you can walk out of here and you can just say, "Wow, what a God we have," then we've met the success button. We have a great God, amen? But we don't always see that. I want you to turn to, I already told you that, but the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus. I'd like to read here tonight, and I think I'm just going to read probably most of this chapter, not all of it. It says, "They took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will see, then that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And the people rested on the seventh day. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you this evening. We can have this precious, wondrous word in our hands. I pray that you might bless tonight, guide our thinking, our thoughts that might realize your greatness. Bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Many times I'm reading the Word of God, I am struck with awe at what is recorded. It strikes me. You step back and you go, wow, God said that. God uses one chapter with 31 verses to record all of creation. But he takes 15 chapters to describe the building of a tabernacle and the anointing of the priest. I don't understand that. All I can say is, wow, isn't God good? Why did he do it that way? I don't know. I look at the Word of God and I find that there are several lists of genealogies. And sometimes I wonder, why are all those names there? Matter of fact, one of those lists is 9 chapters long. And yet, when you stop and really count them up, there are very few verses in the Word of God concerning the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why does God do that way? I don't know. But it's interesting that God does what He does. God has here for us a little tiny nation called Israel. And this nation, we find, in my mind, and as I look in the book of Corinthians especially, that it is a blueprint of the life of the Christian. They were saved by the blood. Amen? They left out of the land of Egypt, and you and I ought to leave out of the old sinful life. We cross across by faith to begin living and allowing God to lead and to direct us. And those can be some very unusual times. And certainly we find that as they now go in to this area they call the wilderness of sin. After you get saved, why, things are different, amen? Things are new. And we look at some of those things and we go, wow, what is going on? And we have to learn some things. And what a picture we have here of the newfound life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I look at this chapter and there are just some fascinating things. I want to share a few of those fascinating things with you tonight in this chapter. And I hope to just bless your heart a little bit. You go back to verse number 2 and 3 and it says, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. When I get to verse number 8, it says, your murmurings are not against us, but against who? It's against the Lord. So here we find that they are murmuring. They're complaining. And the children of Israel said to them, verse 3, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread of the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. It sounds to me not only are they complaining, they're kind of accusing God of some stuff. But I look at this and I don't find something. I don't find a rebuke from God. I don't see God rebuking them. I find later when they did not do what God said to do concerning the Sabbath, that God rebukes them there. But I do not find God rebuking them because they're crying out to Him. By the way, I believe there's a difference between voicing our concerns and finding fault. And we find, of course, that many times throughout the Word of God, men of God poured their complaints out to the Lord. The psalmist in chapter 142, he says, I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. And many times we have those things that we are very concerned about, and we cry out to God for it. And I never find when people are complaining in that regard where God rebukes them. Though their complaints were directed to Aaron Moses, it was against God, and yet God doesn't seem to do that. I find something else that's remarkable to me and just fascinating. God is always ready to hear our heartfelt needs. Again, in verse number 2 and 3, or excuse me, verse 3, 4, and 5, it says, "And the children of Israel said to them, Would to God we died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full, for He brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass the sixth day, they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Though they cried out to God, He's ready to bless. And though the claims that they had against Him were unjust, yet God is merciful to them. Aren't you glad that God is good to you in spite of who you are? In spite of what you do, God is merciful. And how He looks at these people and how He takes care of them, even with an attitude that seems to be really deplorable. But God blesses. God is always ready to hear our heartfelt needs and to listen to those complaints and to work and to bless in our lives. But I find something else, and this one fascinates me most of all. He uses an insignificant thing to prove them. God takes just little things to find out how real we are. It's really important for us to note, for it involves listening to instructions and following them. God says, "I'm going to do something, and this is what I want you to do." And we read that in verse 4 and verse number 5. Drop down with me, verse number 16. Let's reread that again. He says, "This is a thing which the Lord hath commanded, gathered every morning according to the eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." Moses is speaking to them. This is what he has commanded them. Again, in verse number 19, Moses said, "Let no man leave of it until the morning." He is giving them instructions. Verse 25 and 26 says, "Eat that today, for today is the Sabbath of the Lord. Today you shall not find the field." 6 days, Six days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And so God gives some specific instructions. But we find something took place. And we find that they did not totally follow instructions. Amazing. I look at that and some thoughts come across my mind. I believe here lies a very significant problem, and that is people do not listen well. We don't listen well. Why is that? Why is it? I have a real problem remembering names. One of the reasons I figured out was very simple. I don't pay close attention when their name is being given. I don't really pay attention to it. I hear it, but I don't hear it. It is amazing, however, that I can see somebody, and this is my hometown, because of that, I run into people sometimes I haven't seen in 30, 35, 40 years. And I can see them and for some reason recognize them and remember their name. But I can't remember somebody I was introduced to me yesterday because I just didn't pay attention. And that'd be true of so many different things in our lives. We just don't pay attention. And what is the problem? Why don't we listen well? I believe it's important for us to stop and consider this. Remember when Brother Ron was here? What was his wife saying to him? "Focus, focus, focus." And if you could see her sitting over there, that's what she's doing to him half the time. Keep your mind on what you're doing. And focus. Other things many times have too much importance in our lives. and we allow things to interrupt us. And thus we do not really pay attention to God as we ought to. Interesting statement found in the book of James. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all these ways. What's a double-minded man? He's got his attention on the Lord, but it's also on other things. And you and I, we get distracted easy because we're not focused on the Lord as we ought to be. And here's a people who aren't focused as they ought to be. And though Moses gave them the instructions, many evidently really didn't pay attention. Or perhaps they believe they already knew. We have a problem in school. One of the problems is that, especially when it comes to test time, students don't like to read instructions. In our stuff, our instructions are in a different color. They're color-coded. And so when you see that color, that means this is an instruction. What color is it? Oh, some remember. Blue. And that means instruction following. What that happens in many minds is blue, blank out. I know what it says. What is that? That's our pride. And far too often, we don't listen to God because we already think we know it. We already think we've got it under control. And thus we don't hear it. But God here, He's got something insignificant to prove to these people. Matter of fact, God takes this little thing and uses it to introduce to them a tremendous concept. And that concept is the Sabbath. You do not find that word until Exodus chapter 16. You'll not find it earlier. Oh, we know that God created in 6 days and on the seventh He rested. But nowhere before this time do we find that the Sabbath was something they were to keep. It was something given particularly to this nation that might separate them from the rest of the world, that might make them one day of week stop and think, listen, my total dependence is upon God. Nothing I do today is for my benefit. It's all been done yesterday. God allowed that for me, that I might focus upon Him. God gave them double on the day before, which would be our Friday. And they picked up double and they ate of it and kept it overnight. If they did that any other day, what happened? It bred worms and stank. I've wondered, why did God put it that way? I don't have an answer for this. Why did He say it bred worms and stank? Why didn't He say it stank and then bred worms? You say you're an idiot. I know, but it just got me bugged. There's a reason for that somewhere down underneath. It's one of those awesome things I look at. But God uses this to introduce them to something that they might learn from a very insignificant thing the importance of a tremendous event in their lives. And it's interesting, God uses food to teach them. Oh, I'm getting a smile, aren't I? I guarantee you, if you have a piece of food or even you have the smell of food upon you, you have my dog's complete attention. I had my grandkids the other day. I said, why don't you help me give her a bath? I put her in the bathtub. She weighs 120 pounds. I'm an old man. I don't have to put her in the bathtub. She jumps in the bathtub. See, you trained her to do that? No, she don't really like a bath. But if you had a hot dog, she'll do anything in the world for a hot dog. I break that up, and the first thing I do is I throw it down the hallway into the bathroom. Because she knows when she goes in the bathroom with me, there's something's going to happen. And she's going to get wet and she don't like it. Then I go into the bathroom and I shut the door behind me and I throw a piece into the tub. You don't make it on this side tub, you want it on that side of the tub because we're on this side. And I throw it in the tub. And she looks at that. She tries to reach for it. Tub's a little bit high for her. I'm not sure why. Probably because she's got all that weight to pick up to go over. But after a bit, she cannot take it any longer. And she jumps in. And I've got her. Train her with food. Don't train a dog to roll over. Get him down on the floor, get their nose, bring that piece of thing around here, and go back over like that. God uses food to train us. Yeah, He does. Matter of fact, we find it on many occasions. God uses food to teach us about separation. He says, don't eat this and don't eat that. Why? Because we're to be different than the rest of the world. God uses food here to teach them the value of the Sabbath day and how God will provide for them. God used food, by the way, to teach the principle of tithing as they were to bring 10% of their increase to the Lord. And so God takes what seems to be insignificant things to teach us, to prove us, to take us along the path. And so throughout your life, there's going to be all these little things that God does that doesn't seem very significant, but actually it is. Our folks were very impressed with Brother Todd and how he's very meticulous in so many things. When he comes to this church, watch him. Watch missionaries. A man who comes as a missionary who does not have a servant's heart and expects me to wait on them, I would not recommend to my church. If I at 68 years of age especially have to go upstairs and get a table for them so they can put their display on it and they don't even offer, that's a very small thing, but it's a very big thing. Because it shows me the lack of a servant's heart. I get very impressed with our kids. Have you noticed when you walk out the door, it's generally always open and some kids holding on to it? They almost fight over that. Sometimes it's a big kid, sometimes it's little kids. I very seldom, when there's a kid around, walk into any place in this building that somebody doesn't open the door for me. That's a servant's heart. That says, hey, they're going to go somewhere. That's a little thing, amen? But it's a big thing. God took some little things to prove these people and to teach them. And there's one other thing, and this one really excites me too. No matter what the need, there was enough. There were guys who could eat a lot. There was the Francis guys who just give me plenty. It doesn't matter what it tastes like, just pile it on. Amen? Well, he's gotten older. It's not quite that way. And then there's the little petite eaters. Some of our girls that just pick at things, a little here and a little there. And then there are some girls that just really fork it in. I'm giving her a problem tonight. You're not bad. But God said there basically something. Hey, listen, about an omer a person, but get what you need. What's God saying? He is sufficient. He is sufficient. And the only time that would not happen is when they broke the Sabbath and God said, too bad, you're not going to eat today. And so God is all sufficient. And I don't know what your need is. I kind of know some of mine. But God is sufficient. And there's something else we got to understand about this. Except on the Sabbath, you just get what you need today. Because you've got a big need coming up and it hasn't been supplied yet, doesn't mean God isn't going to. When I was growing up, I liked to watch Westerns. And my two favorite cowboys was Roy Rogers and the Lone Ranger. And one thing I noticed in all of those shows, they always rescued them at the last minute. Did you ever see the one where the girl was tied up on the railroad tracks and the train was coming? And the train was going 50 miles an hour, but his horse was going 60 miles an hour. And he slid off of that horse, dug his spurs in, and grabbed the ropes and untied that and cut him off and pulled her off just as the train went by. Have you noticed God does that sometimes? But He's always sufficient. It's always there. So I look at this chapter and there's just some fascinating things. They complain. God didn't rebuke them. God blessed them. And God just always ready to hear our heartfelt needs. Even though within them sometimes we're complaining and saying, God, you just don't care. And God wants us to know He does care. God uses some insignificant things in our lives to prove us and to teach us valuable truth. And no matter what our need is, God's there to take care of it. Some of those families had a lot of kids, and some of them were big eaters, and they just went out and got it. And there's one last thing that just kind of amazes me. That's the cards that you folks wrote on that I read. Let's stay there a few moments. In verse number 32, this is a thing which the Lord commandeth, fill an omer of it, to be kept for your generations. When I go back, it was an omer for a man. God says, I want you to keep one helping around forever, that the generations to follow might look at it. There was one omer that would never stink and never breed worms. It was not to be eaten. It was to be looked at. Because one day, some grandparents come along and say, this is what God did. And the kids say, well, how did God do that? They say, come here. Look in there. That's what we ate. That's how God did it. And amazing, if it stayed out there until the sun got hot, it melted. But somehow, it nourished those 2 to 5 million people for nearly 40 years. Wow. It's amazing. God took care of it. He'll take care of you. Whatever He has for you. Amen. Amen. Father, today, thank You so much for Your watch care. Thank You so much that You care for us. Thank You for these things that just fascinate our minds. How good You are. How wondrous You are. Lord, I pray that as we go through Your Word, that we might just have those moments over and over. Just, wow. What a God. How generous. How gracious. How wondrous. How beautiful You are. Thank You for being God. Work and bless in our midst. Lord Jesus, have Your way and will in every heart. I pray in His name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight. Maybe you haven't had any wow moments lately. Maybe you haven't been gathering the manna called the Word of God. Maybe you need to say to God, I need to taste it again, day after day. Whatever it might be in your life, just a few moments as she plays. And take your time for that, whatever. But God bless you tonight. Amen.